to walk through some of our churches. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I was raised up all of my life around Brother Crawford, Havis Crawford. Old Brother Havis had a saying. He said, I'll just bless them with my absence. I guess that's the way to look at it, Havis. I didn't tell you I agreed with everything Brother Havis did and said. But I knew him all my life. And I loved him, Brother Tony. I never hated him. But you hear me tonight or today. And I got to quit if somebody comes to the piano. How many of you young ladies will God use to reach somebody that needs somebody? I've shook the hands of prostitutes and asked them, would you come to my church? And they've said, you mean you want us to come to your church? You'd walk in today, you'd never know that there was a prostitute. Wife beaters, atheists, once engracers, that's sitting on holiness church pews, brother, saved by the grace of God. And the fact of it is, and such, for some of you. But I'm glad I've been washed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. You understand this morning, this is my...
Praise the Lord. Amen. I was hoping y'all just keep going. Amen. Wonderful Spirit of the Lord that we felt here among us this morning. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Painter had to say. Wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. Just don't get any better than what we've heard already. I'm glad for the boundary lines. Amen. We read in the Scripture to where they pulled up the old landmarks. When you pull those up and you stake them down out of place, that means we're out of place. There has to be boundaries. Amen. I liked what he said, not only so much to keep us confined, but to keep that adversary out. Amen. I appreciate that testimony and the preaching we heard already today. Appreciate the good Spirit of the Lord that I felt already this morning in the service. Let me say again, we appreciate the opportunity to come and be among you all. This is our first time here. And we've just felt right at home. Amen. We appreciate all of these brethren. I appreciate your pastor and what they're doing. And pastors, I'm really not sure how you all do this meeting. I think it's a combined effort. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I appreciate them taking the time to sacrifice. And I've been a part of several youth meetings, youth camps. And I realize that it is a great sacrifice. And I mean, in so many ways, not only of our time, but these youth camps cost quite a bit of money to put on, and it's not cheap. So let these men know how important that this camp is to you, what a blessing it is, and thank them. At the very least, let them know, the staff, those that's worked to contribute, those that's fed you and cleaned up after you. Man, I tell you, I've never seen folks clean up after you like they do around here. I don't think I've had to take an empty plate to the trash can. And I kind of get used to things like that. When I got married, I got married at 20 years old, and I stayed at home. And I'm like Brother Panner, I'm glad I never knowed a lot about this world. I'm glad I never got involved in drugs and alcohol and different things. And amen. But anyway, when I got married, I had a culture shock. And when I left home, I never made my bed. Never ironed any clothes. My clothes was always pressed and ready to go when I got up. Mama made the bed. She cleaned the house. And I got married, and I thought everything was going to go on just like it was. And, whew, man, did I find out differently. So anyway, about 2 days into that marriage, I told my wife, I said, Mama didn't do it like that. She quickly reminded me that you did not marry your mama. Amen. So anyway, I was a spoiled brat's what I was. But anyway, you all have taken good care of us. Thank you for the accommodations. We've been staying with Brother Evans, I believe it is. And wonderful place to stay. I don't know if I've seen him, but maybe one time since I've been here. So anyway, they've treated us so good, and we appreciate the fellowship and the friendship we've been able to share. I want to say I appreciate Brother Buchanan. He calls it Buchanan. Up in the mountains where I'm from, we call it Buchanan. And so anyway, we appreciate Brother Cecil. We got to meet him last year at a meeting we was preaching. And we fell in love with Brother Cecil. Just a wonderful spirit, a kindred spirit. I tell you what, you search the world over. If you find anybody anywhere and preach any better than Brother Buchanan, come tell me about it, will you? Amen. Tremendous guy, tremendous preacher. Amen. And I appreciate his burden and the love that he has for the Lord. But my hat's off to you. Keep doing the good work here. We may never meet again in this life. We may part today to never meet again until that glorious golden daybreak. But keep on keeping on. Keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Keep on laboring. I tell you, folks, I've not staked my claim here. If I hear the call come from that fair summer land, I'm going there. Amen. And I'll see you in the morning. So just keep on keeping on. But let everybody know. I feel like that's the very least we can do. And tell folks you appreciate them. Brother Panner, I felt led to say just a few things before I preach today. Amen. I was preaching over in the mountains of North Carolina last year, I think it was, and I was asked to preach a morning service up in central part of Virginia. Brother Milliken was there preaching the nights, and I was in the middle of this revival, and I thought, well, I'll attempt it anyway. So we was preaching revival, and I went on up there that morning and preached, and I came back. It was on a Friday night. I'll never forget it. And there was a new pastor at this church, and we'd been asked to hold this meeting here. I've known the man for some years. He's a school teacher there in North Carolina, and probably now in his mid-30s, maybe even getting on up in his later 30s. And he took his first church to pastor, and I've known him, as I said, known him for a number of years. And he asked me to come, and I knew that it was going to be a difficult challenge, a lot of different doctrines and beliefs in this one church. And so I went, and I tried to behave myself and did fairly well till Friday night. If you preachers, I think you can relate to what I'm fixing to say. I felt like God told me to tell him something. And I felt like if I didn't tell him, he's going to kill me. You ever felt that way? And so I got up and I greeted the congregation. And I noticed all week long, we started out with a packed house. Little by little, we had a few every night. We had a pretty good crowd on this night. And I thought, well, you know, just had to do it on this night. But anyhow, I got up there and I got to talking about that new pastor. And I said, now I want to tell you, if I was your new pastor here, that my first order of business would be that I'd go down here to the hardware store and I'd order me a skirt stretcher. I said, I've seen about all the legs I can stand this week, Brother Scotty. Well, I seen the pastor's wife. She grew up around me. She came out of staunch holiness. I seen her go down behind the seat, and I said, I called her name. I said, sister, this isn't nothing you ain't heard before. She'd already told her husband, she said, you never know what he's going to say. It wouldn't have done for them to met Scotty Grooms, would it? Amen. I said, while I was at it, pastor, I'd get me a bucket full of thread, and I said, I'd sew up some of them splits they're running around here in. And I said, I'd see if I couldn't invest in a sleeve stretcher while I was at it. And I just, amen, I tell you, I lost them right there. And I said, listen, folks, I said, there is such a thing as modesty. And I said, if you'll do some research on modesty, you'll find that it means long and flowing. Amen. And I said, that's where we need to get back to. And I said, this pastor, if I know him like I've always known him, he's going to preach modesty to you. So let me go ahead and break the ice for him. Amen. Well, that went over about like a lead balloon. Amen. That went over about like a lead balloon, and I had to try to preach and follow that. And then I got the ultimate challenge from a redheaded lady. I only had one. It had to be a redhead. Amen. She got at the back door, and she said, I'm just going to tell you what she said. I knew she was a liar right off the bat, Brother Cecil. She said, I think you're the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. I knew she was a liar right there. She said, but I'm going to tell you I don't agree with that statement you made before you preached. I said, what's that about modesty? She said, Lord, have mercy, I nearly burn up. I said, you ought to trade places with me. She said, well, I just don't agree with that. I said, do you agree with God? Yes, I do. Then I said, then you'll agree with that. So I said all of that to say this to this young folks, this youth camp. Amen. I appreciate the boundary lines that some of our forefathers have set before us. Let us fight to retain our modesty. Amen. Young lady, if you'll look at some old godly saint that's been down the road before you, you'll learn how to wear your clothes. Amen. Hallelujah. The fads and fashions that's erupting out of Hollywood is killing our churches. But if you look around at some of these old gray-haired sisters, you'll find modesty and you'll find how to live. Amen. And I want to say this, and I hope you don't fall out with me. God gave you your hair for a covering. It's a glory unto you. Amen. Don't burn it up. Don't break it down. Amen. I believe in just plain old modesty. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Amen. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. Pray and let God send you a man. Amen. Young men, comb your hair and look like men. Amen. I mean, dress like men ought to dress. Keep what we've started down through that's been handed down to us that we have fought to retain. I'm getting older, folks. I'm getting older. It's obvious. I'm getting older. And I want to keep what we've got. We were sitting in Wendy's some time ago. Some of my church folks were. There was a group of people that I noticed, amen, were just plain people. That's what we call them up in the mountains too. And there was a group of German Baptists from out in the state of California. They came over to me and he picked me out of the crowd and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, are these some of your people? I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, he told me the city they were from, and he said, we're from out in California. He said, we just noticed that you all were plain people too. He said, I didn't know if there's any of the old German Baptists around here, but he said, amen, he said, thought maybe you might be there. Some of the old German Baptists. I said, no, sir. I said, we're of the Pentecostal faith. Amen. But I don't care. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what denomination you're a part of. I told you yesterday I've preached in probably just about everyone, especially the mainstream denominational churches through the years. It doesn't matter where you're from or who your pastor is. If we don't live holy, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So let's keep what we've got. Let's carry on our heritage. Let's stay within the boundaries of holiness, Bible holiness, that is. Amen. Let's believe the word of God. And let every other man be a liar. Let's stand on God's infallible truths. Let's not be ashamed of what we have today. Amen. So I felt like sharing that with you. And I felt like it went over a little better here than it did in the Carolinas. Amen. Stay with it. Hold to it. Amen. The Bible said hold to that. Hold to the things. Amen. Which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I'm afraid that we're seeing a generation that only has the fingerprints of where the hand of God has been, but they don't have the hand of God. Amen. We need the hand of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's read this morning. I've wrestled through the night trying my best to get a hold of the Lord. I thought I had a message I'd preach to you today, but I felt like the Lord dealt with me in a little different direction, just a simple message. I feel like the Lord would help us today. I want to help us. Amen. I want to help you. I want to see us get help around these altars. And my, didn't Brother Buchanan preach last night? Amen. Wonderful preaching. Wonderful preaching. Don't let bitterness get in your heart. Amen. Let's stay true to one another. I liked what he said there, and I thought about it last night. I thought, God, don't let us fight one another. Let us fight for one another. Yes, amen. Let's read in the book of 1 Samuel, familiar passage of Scripture. We'll begin reading in chapter 17, verse 22. So good to see Brother Scotty Grooms. I love Brother Scotty. Got to know him several years ago. Met him over Brother William Strickler's. I got saved under Brother Strickler back in the early 90s as a teenage boy. Amen. We've been blessed to make his acquaintance. All of you, we appreciate you, all the preachers, young preachers. Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And I want you to notice this last line in verse 23, and David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he is come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of heart, for thou art come, amen, thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again as the former manner. Would you ask the Lord to help me this morning? Father, as we approach your throne once again, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to stand in this sacred place, to be among this great people today, Lord, to allow us to minister to them, God, that have come with their cups empty, their vessels, Lord, wanting to be refilled again today. I pray that you would anoint my mind today, O God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, that you would give us liberty, Lord, and help us around these altars. And may, Lord, when this service has come to a conclusion and has reached an end, may we leave more different than we came. And we'll honor you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to keep your Bibles handy. I want you to read on with me real quickly. And when the words, verse 31, were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Verse 33, notice this as well. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now in verse 23, I told you to remember, the Bible said that when that giant Goliath came out as he had did at other times, and he uttered those same words that he had uttered as times before, the Scripture said that David heard them. And then in this particular setting, we now have a time when his eldest brother, amen, has found a conflict with David now being in the camp of Israel. Insomuch, and David's inquiry has set his short fuse ablaze. And now that Saul has sent for David, and David has responded to the call of Saul, the scripture said that Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Amen. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion, there came a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock." David said, "I went out after him. I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth." And I'm not reading it verbatim. "And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Amen. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Amen. Thank you for reading along with me today. And I pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I want to preach to us for just a little while this morning, if God would be my helper, on a brother who said he couldn't, a king who said he shouldn't, but a man of youth because they wouldn't. Amen. That's my message today. I hope you'll help me while I preach a while. And as you've known yesterday, it's not above me to lay aside my preaching for a spell and just have youth camp with you all. And so while I have been here, amen, I have taken notice to this crowd. And in the night last night, as I sort of tossed and turned and, amen, sought the counsel of God, there was a man that I had saw in this youth camp. And I want him to help me today if he will. And he's sitting back there by that young lady that's got that butterfly on her head. That real tall fella right there in the blue shirt. Come up here and help me a little while. Amen. He might have already happened to know that he was going to work with us today. I don't know. Amen. Just stand right over there, brother, if you will. You'll be closest to the Mediterranean Sea. Amen. But anyhow, we're going to need some help from the other side, so just bear with me for a little while this morning. Now the story goes that, amen, this little shepherd boy that we've all read and come to know, that we've shared the story about oftentimes, many times in our Sunday school classes and growing up through the years and seeing depictions stuck on, amen, billboards and, amen, and, you know, these velvet, what do you call those things, those stick-on things? And amen. Somebody said it. Felt boards. There we go. I told you I'm so elementary, I just barely got through school. But anyway, we saw all of these little depictions through the years, Brother Cecil, and oftentimes we're reminded of this same little simple story. And I want to say this morning, don't ever allow any story that the man of God reads or you read within the pages of God's holy, infallible word. Don't ever allow it to become simple to you, but allow it to speak to your heart. Amen. On different occasions and time again. But we have all come to know this little story. Amen. Many times we tell it to our children throughout the years. But there's just something that God began to deal with my heart concerning in the night last night. And I felt that it was needful, that it was pertinent today to be able to share it with you in this message. But as we all know now, that Saul has rebelled against, he bent the very will of God. And if you understand the scripture, friend, we know according to the scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, amen, that our sins will find us out. Amen. We may run on for even a while and maybe run on for a long time, but after a while, amen, somewhere in time, we're going to have to pay for the sins that we have committed and the rebellion that we have done against the Almighty God. And that time had come in the life of Saul. The people had cried for a king, and God had given them what they had asked for. But the time had also come when he had been stripped of his title, and it had been given to another one that the scripture refers to as better than Saul. And Saul, we learn, even after being erected from the throne, yet he remained God's anointed. That's why David could have overtaken him. That's why David could have destroyed the life of Saul, but he never done it, because the writer said it like this: touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He meant he was the anointed of the Lord. He rebelled against God, and God rejected him, and he gave his kingship to another. And so we learn that David now has been anointed to be king over Israel. He meant it will be in the excess, he meant, of some 20 years before David, he meant, will eventually take the throne of Israel. But I want to tell you something, folks. If God has spoken it, if God has uttered it, he meant, if God said it's going to come to pass, he meant, in the process of time, brethren, it will come to pass. He meant, God doesn't hit his target once in a while. God hits his target every time. Now listen to me. Let me preach to us here for a little while. Being anointed king, he goes back to doing what he's always done. He has been the man that has soothed the conscience of old Saul by pulling on the strings of his harp. Oh, yes. He knows what it's like, Brother Cecil, to be an armor bearer. He knows what it's like to come up through the ranks. But while he is going back to doing what he normally does, and every one of us are going to leave here today, and we're going back home after the service tonight, and we're going back to our routine. We're going back to the home church. We're going back to the same old grind. I don't know how these other pastors feel, but I've been pastoring now for several years, and sometimes I just get to feeling like I'm just old stale corn. But I must abide wherein the calling that God has given me, and I must stay there till God says that it's time to go. I've tried to convince God many times that my tenure had expired, it was up. I've tried to convince God a whole lot of times that I needed to be doing some evangelistic work and somebody else pastoring our work. Amen. But I haven't been able to convince him of that just yet. But we're all going to go back home. And though David was the anointed one in Israel, he just simply goes back to tending to his sheep as he has always done. The time will come when Jesse's going to call for his youngest boy. He knows that war, he man, is waging. He knows that his eldest boys are ready to cross the valley of Elah, and they're ready to go into that battle against the thorn in the flesh of Israel and fight those barbaric Philistines that have no feeling or sensitivity, amen, for nobody but themselves. And he gets to wondering about how that they're faring down there in the valley. And we learn that now that this mighty Goliath, amen, this giant of Gath, he has come out, and he does it for about the space of 40 days. He comes out, looks out over that valley, amen, issues the challenge once again. Do you understand what the Bible said? Brother Cecil, it said our adversary is walking about, amen, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want to say to you, that's what this giant was doing. And it was very obvious that Saul would have been the man the greatest man in all of Israel, the greatest warrior in all of Israel. Amen. The man of height and stature. That's why Saul, my friend, had pulled the cover over his face and he had run and hid in the shadows. He heard the threats of that giant. He knew what was posing. He knew what was possibly going to take place. And all of those other men, amen, were there. They had set the battle in array. That meant they had lined up. If you read on, they had even engaged in battle. But you see, if this was not out of the ordinary, amen, nations in that day would pick them out of man and they would send them forth to issue the challenge. And rather than losing, amen, mass hordes of men to bloodshed and weakening their armed forces, they would pick them out of man. And this was the champion in all of Gath. But there was a problem. Amen. That champion of Gath, he could not get anybody who would accept his invitation or his challenge. But there would be a day when the youngest of Jesse's boys was sent into the midst of that battle to see how his brethren, amen, was faring. And when he got down there, amen, just so happened that sleeping giant was aroused, and he left the mountainside, and the man before him that bare his shield, and he came down into that valley, and David began to hear a voice that he hadn't heard before. He heard an enemy. He heard an adversary. He heard a roaring lion. Notice what the Bible said. Amen, that David heard him. Do you believe that Eliab heard him? Amen, do you believe that Abinadab heard him? Amen, do you believe that Shammah heard him? Why, sure they did. Do you know that Saul was well aware of the voice of this Philistine champion? Amen, yes, he did. But I want to tell you something. On this particular day, there would be somebody, amen, that would take his challenge, amen, that would rise to the occasion and go out and fight against this champion. Now listen to me. Now listen here. Amen. So he eases out again like at all times. You walk around for me there, can't you, Goliath? Let's do it, you know, like a champion would do it. Stick your chest out and even flex your muscles, if you will. Hey, I'm preaching of youth camps. I know what it takes to keep your attention here. Amen. He's flaunting around. I believe you can do a little better than that, brother. Amen. Yes, sir. Here comes that big bully. Amen. Loping around just like he owns the world. And all of a sudden, he hears those same words. You're doing good, brother. Keep going. Amen. David hears him issue that challenge again. I mean, we could settle all of this war that's raging on. Keep going there, will ya? Amen. We can settle it all. We can stop any more wounding. We can stop any more bloodshed. Just send me a man out here that'll fight against me. That's all I want, just one man. Amen. All of a sudden, old David looks around, and I don't know who he looked at first, but he looks around. He said, did I hear him correctly? Amen. Did I hear him ask for someone, amen, to come out and fight against him? Yes, sir. And they begin to explain to David, because David hadn't heard the whole scoop, Brother Stidham. Amen. They explained to David of the challenge that had been issued. Amen. David gets to listening, and some way or another, I don't believe David can believe what he heard, because he asked him again the second time, Brother Cecil. Amen. Did I hear you all right? Did I understand what you said? Amen. I can't believe that. Head of all of this army, head of all of this crowd, and there's nobody that has arose to the occasion to fight against this giant. Now listen. Come here, Brother Cecil, come here. You got to tell me something. Did I hear y'all right?
Now listen. Now let me make sure I heard you all right. Now they just told me. I don't really put a lot of stock and confidence in what they said. And they confirmed it, but really, you're telling me that nobody has went out. Nobody will accept the challenge.
Nobody. Nobody.
Did I hear them say that, amen, we could have the wealth of the kingdom of the king?
Tax-free.
Amen, tax-free.
Beautiful daughter.
Beautiful daughter. Amen, all the other commodities that comes along with it. Amen, I'm telling you, gold-plated chariot, the finest horse. Nobody. Amen. David's standing around scratching his head trying to figure out what's going on here. Amen, asking questions, and all of a sudden, amen, his eldest brother Eliab. Man, I'm telling you, he sees what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. You can say what you want to. The Bible doesn't say, but you can say anything. You can tell me whatever you want to, but this is what I believe, Brother Cecil. Eliab knew that when that boy, who had to be under the age of 20, because he had to at least be 20 years old to go out into the midst of the battle. You Bible readers ought to know that. You historians ought to know that. So he had to be under 20 years old. History says he was probably around 15. But Eliab knew that there was something different about this boy. He knew, Brother Cecil, amen, that he was asking these questions. He knew that he was probably at this point in time going to reach out to God. God was going to reach down to him, and something was about to take place here.
Praise God. Yes, sir, brother.
Daring not to suffer the shame and humiliation of not being the one to accept the challenge that had been issued. Amen. He spake unto his brother, and his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why did you come down here? Amen. And who in the world did you leave them sheep with? You notice he tries to distract David here. You need to be taking care of what you normally take care of. Amen. Listen, let's go on real quickly. Amen. I know you. I know you real well. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. In other words, you just come down here to be nosy, David. Amen. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. In the original Hebrew, you will find that David was simply saying, I'm just asking a question. That's all I'm doing. Amen. Is there not a cause? I'm just asking a question. And he turned from him toward another. He forgot the words of his brother. Amen. Who in essence was telling him that he couldn't. And he spake, amen, again to someone else in the same manner. And what else happened, Brother Cecil? And the people murmured. They uttered again the exact same words that David had already heard. Hang on, I'm going to preach to you here in a minute by the help of God. Amen. I'm just asking questions and you're all getting upset. Can I tell you that I believe that we're in now in a time when somebody ought to be concerned? Can I tell us that I believe that we're living in a time when somebody ought to be interested in engaging in this warfare and fighting in this battle? Can I tell you that I believe that the time has come that we should be inquisitive, that we should be asking questions, even as to how come or why David was trying to understand how come this big giant bully could flaunt himself and flex his muscles. He met and strut around like he was the greatest of all time. He man and his people stand there in a dormant and complacent state of mind, shaken in their shoes. Could I tell us this morning that perfect love casteth out fear? He man, I'm not serving a God that's washed up and weak. I'm serving a God who is still well able after all of these years, after forming the world, Amen. After healing the sick, drying up diseases, saving the lost, like Samson, doing more in his death than he did in his life. I'm still serving a God who has made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen now. Amen. It's time somebody asks questions. When pastors are running backwards and running from the very things we need to be addressing. This brother said it right. Amen. Not long ago, there were some folk got rolling around in our country. They left one church, went into another, and the word got around. And one pastoring friend I had out in Texas, he asked another old brother, a pastoring friend of ours, said, "Why in the world, amen, did they stop 10 miles short of going to Brother Tracy's? How in the world could they consciously stop where they stopped and not go on up the road?" Amen. I'm telling you, I didn't feel that way. I didn't take a second glance at it, Brother Cecil. All I know this family, I felt like they probably done what they felt like they needed to do. But my old pastoring friend down in Northeast Tennessee, amen, he said, "I'll explain it to you and sum it up just like this." He said, "I'll tell you why they stopped shy, amen, of 10 miles. He said, "Brother Tracy don't need no help pastoring his church. Amen. Brother Savage told somebody that I run it with an iron fist. I don't know if that's how you do it or not, but I'm here to tell you, amen, I've got trustees. We've got people in proper places and in the right position. But I am the man of God. I will stand if I have to stand alone. I've stood when I thought everybody was against me. I prayed when nobody wanted to help me pray it through. Amen. There's a giant in our land. Amen. And too many people are falling prey to that giant. Amen. We're losing them one by one. And somebody needs a backbone that'll stand up and fight the giant that is taking our people away.
Yes, sir. Brother. Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't need no help when it comes down to getting a hold of God. I don't need nobody else's advice. I'll take His. Amen. I'm not telling you I'm not open to suggestions. I'm not telling you that there have been times, brother, when I've been wrong and I've had to rescind some things. Amen. Recant, brother, and say I'm sorry because I didn't handle it right. But we're needing some men who will draw the boundary line. We're needing some men, amen, that'll fence us in and keep sin and Satan out and say this is as far as it goes. Amen. From the get-go, brother, God drew a line in the sand and He told the ocean, "You can only come this far." Amen. Boundary lines have always been with God and they always will be with God. So Eliab said that he couldn't. I'm not through. Hang on. I'm trying to hurry. I don't feel like I'm doing too well, Brother Cecil. Amen. So now Saul hears what's going on. And he calls for David to come to him. The king, the mighty man, is now asking for this little ruddy fella to come to him. Now listen to me, young folks. You're going to preach a little while. Amen. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able, amen, to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth." Now listen. Here's where I'm going to preach to us for just a little while. He has a brother that says that he couldn't. He has a king, amen, that says that he shouldn't. Amen. The reason the king says that he shouldn't, amen, he didn't do anything to stop him, brother. He was glad that David was willing to accept And what this king was, he done accepted the fact, brother. Amen. Be that as it may, we're going to get whipped right here, and we're all going to become servants to the Philistines. We might as well just lay down and roll over and play dead and get it over with. Amen. David, you shouldn't. That's funny. Amen. Saul, because my brother said that I couldn't. Amen. But old David, he gets to reminiscing. And he gets to thinking about days that are gone by. And he tells, amen, the story of how that the bear and the lion came to him and his flock and took one, amen, of those lambs from that flock. He went out and caught him by the beard. Amen, took it in his hand, pried it out of his mouth, and slew both the lion and the bear. And David said, brother, he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like that lion and that bear. Amen. The next thing you know, the scene shifts here, and David takes with him, amen, his staff. You got a little old ruddy boy. Amen. Where's that? Can I use this little fella right here in that white shirt? Come over here a minute, little fella. Amen. Come up here real quickly, will you? Stand right over here. Amen. Just stand right over there and look back toward that giant. Oh, yes. Amen. That giant's flexing his muscles. That little fella, he makes his way down. And as he crosses that brook, hey, buddy. Amen. What's your name, son? Malachi. You ever picked up rocks before, Malachi? This boy ain't going to incriminate himself. You ever picked up a rock, Malachi? I hope we're about to right now. Can you help me pick up a rock, Malachi? Just reach down and pick you up about 5 smooth stones. I think he's got stage fright. Stand right there, Malachi. Come over here, little fella. Show Malachi how we get some rocks picked up. Hey, wait a minute before you do it. You ever picked any rocks up? You ever threw any? You ever hit anything? Show him how to pick up about 5 of them, will you? Count them now. Look at it real good when you pick it up. You got 5 of them? You got them in your little bag. You stick them in your pocket there. Amen. In the script. You got them? Got them where you need them? Oh, David. Amen. Walks out. You know the story. I don't have to go into all the detail. That giant comes walking toward him. Hey, brother, help me laugh a little bit. Don't. Amen. Face him, David. Face him. Amen. Hold on. Don't sling it yet. I'm going to tell you folks something. Y'all ain't figured it out yet. We've got a certified rock thrower among us. Amen. Amen. That giant's laughing. He's making light of old David. I'm not going through this verbatim, friend. Amen. David's sitting up here. He's standing there looking at that giant. And he says, look, Goliath. Amen. He said, you come to me. You got a coat of mail on. That coat weighs about 125 pounds. Amen. That spearhead, the best I can tell, Brother Cecil, somewhere around 15 pounds. Just a spearhead. You imagine that, folks. Amen. He said, you come to me with a spear and a sword. Amen. And a shield. But David said, Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now over here, amen, I need a little help, boys. Step on down there, Eliab. Amen. Nibble on them fingernails a little bit, will you? Amen. Come on down here, Abinadab. Come on down here, Shammah. You're supposed to be a mighty man. Amen. Come on down here. Them boys are standing around over there, nibbling their knees, smiting one against another. Amen. You rode me like a mule yesterday. Come on out here, Saul. Amen. Saul's over here in the corner down on his knees. Amen. I'm begging God, Lord, give that boy strength. Amen. Have mercy on little David. He's scared to death. They're hiding one behind another. And the greatest battle, my friend, amen, to ever be fought at this time is about to be conquered in Israel. And all of a sudden, amen, overhears brethren that said he couldn't, a king that said he shouldn't, and down here's a little fella that said, I ain't got no choice. I got to because they wouldn't. Are you listening to me? And the closer they came, oh, David wound that swing up, brother. Wind her up there, son. Amen. All of a sudden, he turned it loose. Amen. And that rock hit the head of that giant. And down to the ground he went. I want to say to you this morning, young folks, amen, there's a time that's come. Amen. When everybody's saying you can't, I say you can. I got some that believe you shouldn't, but you got to, because there's a lot that will not do it. Amen. Listen to me here. I got to preach to you right here just a few more minutes. Stay right there, Goliath. Amen. David, get his sword. Get ready, David. Pull that sword off of his side. Amen. Got to get both hands on it now. Just stay right there in place. Some years ago, amen, I started preaching at the age of 19. I'm 44 years old now. For over 12 years, my wife can attest to what I'm fixing to tell you. Amen. I preach somewhere around 350 nights a year, as well as pastoring a church. I started pastoring about 4 years after I started preaching. Even then, I felt so much like a novice that I asked them to, amen, vote my pastor in and let me work out from under him in case there was controversy or problems. Amen. My pastor always, amen, admired me for that. And at times he'd pull me aside and say, Brother Tracy, the Lord has blessed you with an abnormal amount of wisdom as a young man. As I told you, I've not always exercised that wisdom in the manner that I probably should have. But I pastored my first church, and after 12 years of preaching like I did, one night I stepped out of the pulpit and I felt my heart flop in my chest. This went on for several days. I finally agreed to go to the doctor. And when I got to the doctor, they said, Mr. Puckett, and I just a boy then. I was 28 years old. Amen, listen to me. Amen, 28 or 29, I don't remember. But anyway, they said, Mr. Puckett, amen, you've got some serious problems. Your heart is in atrial fibrillation. Amen, that is an arrhythmia issue. Amen, and you've got to slow down. They sent me to a specialist. They started running all types of tests. And they soon found out that I had an electrode, one that was longer than the other. All of my life I'd felt these episodes, but didn't know what it was, because my heart would revert back into a normal sinus rhythm. Amen. But years of miles and travel and worry and preaching and exertion had brought me to a place of exhaustion, and I thought I was going to die. Amen. There was men. I'll never forget a man, a wealthy man. Jerry Scouse's mother died. I was at her funeral. Nat Baker was his name. Nat Baker was a wealthy man. And Nat had gotten saved and joined the Baptist church. Amen. A conservative Baptist church. We've got several of them in our area. Nat started going to that Baptist church. But wherever I was preaching, Nat Baker was there. I remember Nat coming to me. And he said, Preacher, you don't look good. He said, Your color's bad. Your eyes don't look good. He said, Son, I want to tell you there's a reasonable service. And he said, You got to offer yourself up. He meant reasonably. I didn't know how to do it. I still ain't figured it out. I don't have time for fun and games. I'm not into pranks. I'm not admonishing pranksters. Even I like to play. I like to have fun. But there are souls that are dying lost. And there's men about us that could but won't. There's men that should but's not going to. And so I felt like Brother Cecil that it fell upon me to go in to do it. I went for months on end with my heart out of rhythm. And finally it converted back into a normal rhythm. They kept telling me I have to quit. I had to slow down. Right after they diagnosed me, I preached 69 nights straight. I went into the bathroom, amen, in Richlands, changing my shirt out, and the world went black. And I'll never forget thinking about it at that point. I thought, this is it. This is where it all comes to a close. I reached for the wall, and everything went black. And I said, this is it. I don't know how long I was gone, but when I came to myself, I was still on my feet. Amen. And I still had my shirt to change in my hand. I changed my shirt, never told my wife for a long time about the episode that I'd had. But my heart was so out of rhythm. Amen. It had weakened me to the point, Brother Tony, that I couldn't hardly go. But the only time I felt good was when I was preaching and under the anointing of the Lord. But I felt like I had to go. Right in the midst of all of that conflict, amen, I was preaching a youth camp meeting just like this one. There's four different pastors came to hear me in that youth camp meeting. While they were there, Brother Mike, every one of them asked me to come and hold a revival in their church. And so we scheduled those meetings out. One of those churches that I was going to, amen, had been known over the years to drift away from old time holiness. But it was about 50-50. They had about 60 people in that church. About half of them were still old time. Most of them was from the age of 70 on up. And then the younger group, about 40 on down. And man, I'm telling you, as much as they were holiness, I'm telling you, man, they were liberal. But I got that invitation, and I prayed about it, and I decided I'd go. Amen. The word came to me from some of the hierarchy, and they said, listen, preacher, if you go to that church, we're writing you off. We are done with you. We want nothing else to do with you. Amen. Not your fellowship, your people. Amen. Just leave it laying like that right there. And so guess what I've done? Even you think I did like Saul did. You think I did like Eliab did. You think I'd run and hid. I was more determined to go than I'd ever been. I went in that holler in Buchanan County. And I commenced to preaching. And a deacon got right with God. Amen. There's a preacher stood up and run down the aisle. Amen. And confessed his sins and got right with God. Amen. 10 people got saved in that meeting. But the last of those men to get saved, amen, was their song leader. He comes to my church today. Amen. I want you to understand. Give his heart to God. And God made holiness people out of them. And you know what? Amen. Those other 8. Amen. They got out of there too. And guess where they landed? They were divided among the hierarchy. That said, if you go, we're done with you. The next call I get was, come back, preacher. Come back and do it again. I said, you bunch of yellow-bellied cowards. I said, if there's anything to you, you'd get your hands dirty and you'd go forth and preach the word of God. They was brothers that said I couldn't. The hierarchies that said you shouldn't. But a man of youth, because they wouldn't. It gets better, hang on. I got a real good kick out of calling them cowards. Yellow belly. Jelly for spines. And I told every one of them, We're sorry, Brother Tracy. We're sorry. You owe me no apologies. Amen. That's why I say to us young people, listen. Brother Cecil preached last night so wonderfully. I rolled that message over and over in my head. Amen. That's exactly, this man told us right. We don't need to be fighting one another. We need to be fighting for, amen, with one another. Not with one another, but for one another. Listen, I won them 10 people out of there, and those 10 people multiplied. And one fellow that wasn't running so good a crowd got to running a good crowd. I was preaching in another camp meeting, and he was too. And he said, when you coming back? I said, I'll tell you how, I'll do it just like this. I'll probably never get another chance, but I make a deal with you. I said, I'll come back just right after you go. Amen. And you preach to him. He said, well, you know that ain't going to happen. I said, most likely not. But I said, it could have been you when I went. Who died and made you God? Amen. I don't feel any less about this man. If they called me and told me he's holding a revival in a Catholic church, I'd say, where's it at? I want to go help him. A few years ago, I got another call from another pastor. Now listen to me. Even the hierarchy will keep you suppressed, preachers. Not long ago, there's a poor fella came to my church. He's starving to death. And he had a list in his hand, Brother Cecil.
Ooh, I like stuff like this.
I like a little controversy every once in a while. Yeah. Amen. I like a little confrontation. Not long ago, there's some churches in Tennessee that asked me to come and represent the Holiness Church, amen, in defining the Godhead. Amen. So I took them up in a debate, amen, to present, amen, the Godhead. Hallelujah. Amen. Trinity, that is. Hallelujah. But anyway, he had this list in his hand. He is standing here, big old poodle dog, tears running down his face. I'm telling you, them puppy dog eyes. He is a weeping and a crying. He won't nobody. I don't understand. I don't know why doors won't open for me. And I got to looking at that list. And some of the hierarchy had made him a list. And just so happened, Brother Cecil, I made the top 10. I was number 4 on the list. He said, here's the places they told me to go, and here's the places they told me don't go. I said, wait a minute. Did they call you, or did God call you? He said, no, God called me. I said, can I have that list? He said, yes, sir.
Oh, come on, Brother Parker. Come on. Preach to it.
Give me that. Give me one of them Kleenexes there, Brother Painter. Thank you. I said, can I have that list? I'm standing here holding it in my hand. Here, you do it for me, Brother Tony. He said, wait a minute. That's my list. I said, if it's that important to you, you should have had it memorized. And I said, let me tell you something, preacher. If God called you to preach, you go where God sends you, and I don't care who tells you not to go. And I said, God won't bless you unless you're willing to do His will.
Amen.
Amen. This foolishness, you go here, you go there. Fully on that whole stinking crowd.
Come on, brother. Come on.
That's good. That's good. Amen. Get that on the Holiness Messenger. Amen. I fought that. I fought that all along. But amen. I'll leave that land right there. Amen. But anyway, let's go on. Let me go on. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. Everybody on there ain't qualified, Brother Cecil. Everybody on there ain't holiness preachers. Amen. But anyway, let's go on. Maybe you can get something out of it. But anyhow, amen. That old boy tore that list up. I thought he was going to stroke out. Amen. God got to opening some doors. God's been helping him. Amen. The Lord's been a blessing him. He ain't doing like what he'd want to. But things has been a little different for him, Pastor. Listen to me this morning. A few years ago, there was a holiness church. Amen. Not far from me in the little town of Abingdon. There'd been many great men pass through there out. Men that I'd call their names and you would know them. Holiness men. But the church had taken on a different nature. It had compromised the stand that it had once taken. A young man had took the church. Matter of fact, he was a Baptist boy. And all of a sudden one day my phone rings. And he called me up and he said, "Preacher," he said, "would you come and hold me a revival?" I'll be honest with you. I said, "I'll pray about it, brother." Like I always do. He said, "Well, will you get back to me?" I said, "Yes, sir, I'll get back to you." I fumbled it around a little bit. I made it a matter of prayer very vaguely, lightly. And I'm going to be honest with you. By now, I was more worried about my social standings than I was anything else. Can I just be honest? All right. Took me a long time to get where I'm going. And I wasn't about to tear it down in a liberal church. But God spoke to me and told me, "You go to that meeting and you preach that meeting." That preacher called me back after 3 or 4 weeks, Brother Tyler. And he said, "Preacher, has God given you a word yet?" I said, "I'll pray about it." I said, "I'll pray about it some more." God spoke to me again and told me to go. He called me back in a couple weeks. He said, "Preacher, it's urgent. I need you. Will you come?" And in my frustration, Brother Moore, I was a little ugly. I said, "Yeah, I'm coming, but I don't know how long I'll stay." But I said, "I'll stay till God tells me to go. But I'm coming." And I said, "Let's mean you get one thing clear right now, friend. I don't know you and you don't know me. But if you don't want holiness preaching and separation from the world, then tell me now because I don't need to be there." He said, "Preacher, I feel like God laid you on my heart." And he said, "I know very little about holiness. But," he said, "I'm asking you to come, please." Brother Stidham, I get to that meeting. News gets out. The church will hold about 100 people. The first night, they're backed up till they're having to line traffic up just off of Main Street in Abingdon. Churches all in that area came. Many of them, as I walked through that crowd, they were sitting off to the side, lined up on the windows, sitting in the windows, standing in the vestibule. And as I walked down the aisle of that church and stood on the side where Brother Tyler's standing, many of them shook my hand and said, "We just come to see their reaction when you start preaching old-time holiness." I said, "You have come all together for the wrong reason." Amen. If God anoints me to preach old-time holiness, I will. But I'm here to help these people that come to this church. I'm not here to sink this boat. I'm not here to destroy, amen, not one soul. You listen to me. The reason that I'm there is because there were some that said I couldn't. Amen. There's the hierarchy standing off in the shadows. Amen. That's going to keep you suppressed if you let them. That's saying you shouldn't. Amen. But here I am, just an old snot-nosed preacher boy that's willing and able in my youth to try to be used of God. Listen to me now. And so I get to preaching in that meeting. The first night that the altar clears out, amen, I look over there, Brother Cecil, and there lays a gold necklace. And I thought, I'm seeing things. Amen. I didn't preach on a necklace that night, but somebody prayed through. The next night, I looked and I saw another necklace or two. Amen. And the next night, brother, they're still laying right there. I see a finger ring or two. Amen. The next thing I know, there lays that big Indian that's been chasing that man around his whole life. They call him Red Man. He's laying on the altar. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. Clothes, skimpy apparel, you name it, there it lays. And God's a saving souls, and we're having revival. And the pastor's wife pulled off her earrings, wiped the makeup off of her face, and the power of God is moving, and the crowds is overflowing. I want to tell you, brother, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to be willing. Somebody's got to do it in the name of the Lord. Let's get real serious here. I'm almost done. If I had to listen, amen, to this flesh and worried more about my social standings. The revival goes into the second week. The deacon of that church needed a haircut and a shave. Amen. Haircut wasn't so bad, but he needed a shave. Praise the Lord. I know. I ain't got a lick of Bible for a beard. If you do, show it to me. But it's holiness heritage. It's holiness custom. I've always practiced it. I've always preached it. And I ain't changing now. Straighten that tie up for me, Brother Tanner. Give me that red-headed woman look at night. Straighten that top, boy. Walk around this building like you're really somebody, will you? I mean, strut your stuff. Lord, if you can't strut no better than that, you're in trouble, son. Now, Brother Painter, I want you to get that nose way up in the air. If it comes a hard rain, he'll drown. Come over here, Brother Justice. Give me a few of them things right there, will you? All right. Well, I can make anything. I can make something out of nothing. Hold that up there. All right. We got a brother that says I couldn't. We got kings that say you shouldn't. And here goes this whole woolly deacon out. Brother Tony, go behind that door for me, will you? And I want you to do everything I tell you to do. This is a real, I don't have to tell everybody else's stories. I got my own to tell. Shut that door. And that old big woolly deacon walks up to this door. Peck on that door, Brother Justice. Nobody answer. Nobody. Amen. Nobody. Listen to me. He keeps on knocking. Nobody answers. Finally, the old deacon, amen, that big woolly beard on that hot summer morning, he decides, well, this is it. Amen. I tell you, this old brother ought to be really rested. You all right, ain't you, brother? Amen. He starts away, and then all of a sudden, something props his heart, Brother Scotty. Amen. It says, go back and knock on that door. So that deacon goes back, and he knocks on that door, and nobody answers. Amen. And he keeps on knocking. And all of a sudden, there's a real rude, rough-looking fella opens the door just enough. Stick your head out the door, Brother Tony. Sticks his head out the door with fire in his eyes. And he said, what do you want? That old big woolly-looking deacon said, sir, we're having revival down here. At this little holiness church. And we want you to come. That old rough, gruff fellow looks back at me. He said, let me tell you something. I was raised in holiness. I went there when I first moved to this community. And that's the farthest thing from holiness I've ever seen. What's that deacon going to say? That deacon says, sir, you don't understand. He said,
I don't know much about holiness either.
But let me see if this will ring a bell to you.
They
finger rings land on the altar.
There's some finger rings laying on the altar.
There's gold chains laying on the altar.
There's gold chains laying on the altar.
There's chewing tobacco and snuff on the altar.
There's chewing tobacco and snuff on the altar.
By this time, this fellow on the inside steps out of the door. He said, tell me who's preaching down there.
Tell me who's preaching down there.
That deacon said, I really don't know. All I can tell you is they call him Brother Puckett.
I don't know, but they call him Brother Puckett.
He said, did you tell me that there was gold chains and finger rings and chewing tobacco and skimpy clothes laying on the altar? He said, yes, sir, that's what it is. He said to this man, he said, then I may come to see.
I may come to see.
Listen to me. Listen to me. And he walks back in the house and he shuts the door. You can come on back out after doing that, Brother Tony. The old deacon feels like he's done what he's supposed to do, and he goes back home. Amen. We've got holiness preachers. We've got dignified, self-righteous, better than thou attitudes driving up and down the road. Let's see that again, Brother Painter. Amen. It's how you strut around, buddy. Amen. Help me here, Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen to me. I'm closing here. I get to church on that Monday night. I look back through that crowd and there's a man the whole night sitting there beside of his wife. I assumed it was his wife. And he turned right there where the pastor's wife's sitting, and he turned and he sat on the edge of his pew the entire night, Brother Cecil. And before I could give the altar call, when I called for somebody to come to the piano, he leaped out of his pew and he made a lunge, Brother Tony. And he slid head first into the altar rail. And he made a, when he hit the altar, and he began to beat on that altar. And he was a praying and a crying and a pleading with God to forgive him. His wife landed right on her bony's back. Amen. And they prayed until they prayed their way out of trouble. I'm talking about men who said I couldn't. Others that said you shouldn't. But an old preacher boy and a man of youth, because they wouldn't. Young folks, you got a golden opportunity. Amen. Answer the call. Amen. Stand against all odds and fight this good fight of faith and allow God to use you. But listen to this. That old brother stood up that night and wept, Brother Tony. And he stood there and he said, preacher, you don't know what this service means to me. He said, we're from the state of Ohio. We was raised up in the Holiness Church. Backsliders on God. I went there for help when I came, and it was obvious they didn't have what I knew was right. And he said, I've given up on hope. And he said, when that brother knocked on that door that morning, he said, my wife was sitting on one side of the house and me on the other side in the living room. And the countdown had done started. They were going to count 3, 2, 1. And both of them were going to commit suicide and be hurled into eternity. And he said, we done started the countdown when the knock came on the door. And he said, I said, let's just wait it out. And he said that when I waited it out, amen, we started again. He said, we sat there and waited. And he said, we started again. 3, 2. Amen. All of a sudden, that deacon returned and beat on that door. Brother Cecil, I ain't got time to play politics. I ain't got time to rub shoulders with this high society. Even I ain't got time to be under a dictatorship. There are souls in danger. There are people that's looking for a way out. Amen. There are people that are crouched down. The enemy has them surrounded. We need a deliverer who will rise to the occasion and be a man, even of youth, that will fight for the right and the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Tell me I wasn't supposed to be there, Brother Stidham, and I'll tell you you're a liar. God orchestrated that meeting, and many of them since. I've preached in communities and watched shadows become forms and walk through the door. One revival I was in a Pentecostal holiness church in the mountains of Bland, Virginia. Amen, I watched a shadow become a form. And a drunk staggered in the back door and became a deacon in the house of God. I watched two atheists stand at the door for the second week of revival. Amen, and walk in. And I asked them to have a seat. And that night they prayed their way out of trouble. They're both gone into eternity. And as far as I know, they died right with God. I'm telling you, brother. Amen. Don't get rubber glove religion. Don't cross by to the other side of the road. Be willing to do what God would have you to do. Amen. Yes, there may be others say you can't do it. Amen. There may be somebody say you shouldn't do it. But say, Lord, I want to do it. All for the glory of God. I feel like a failure this morning. You men in this building know I'm preaching right. There's men that wouldn't dirty their soles of their shoes to walk through some of our churches. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I was raised up all of my life around Brother Crawford, Havis Crawford. Old Brother Havis had a saying. He said, I'll just bless them with my absence.